All right, I thank you all again for coming. So this part two, talking about different aspects of a good Jew, and tonight we discuss what's a controversial topic, something that, you know, take the Maror Mekomos with you if you're bold enough, and go through it because we can't read everyone inside. It talks about Emunas Chachamim, faith in the sages. What exactly is Emunas Chachamim? What is it? If you look at number one, so the Mishnah says in the last parak of Avos, the Torah is acquired, Atar Niknes Barboim Ushmona Dvarim, 48 different qualities, different characteristics that a person has to nurture in order to acquire Torah. One of them is Amunas Chachamim, faith in the sages. But what exactly is faith in the sages? How does a person acquire Torah through faith in the sages? Now, on one level, it's based on the famous pasuk in the Shoftim, in number two, Al pi haTorah sheyarucha, according to the Torah that they teach you, Ve'al mishpat sheyirmu lecha taseh, and according to the law they tell you you should do, Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin usmol. You should not deviate from what they tell you, either to the right or to the left. There's an obligation to heed the words of the Chachamim. In context, of course, it's talking about the Beis Din HaGadol. Ki pelem chadavar amishpat, if a person is certain matters unknown to them, they're doubtful about, v'kamta valisa. So you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas HaGazos, where the Sanhedrin HaGadol sat, and there they will be able to clarify all the svegos, all the elements of doubt. So we have to heed their words. Of course, it's not the same as emuna. Emuna, we talk about emuna b'Hashem. What's emuna b'chachamim? That's totally, it's not quite the same. Emuna is faith or belief or a confirmation, like the word amen, a confirmation of something that we subscribe to. We answer amen to a bracha. That's what we're saying, amen. We have emuna that this is true. God is amotzi lechem min haaretz, etc. So what in fact is it, and why is that so? Now Rashi raises a very interesting, if not fascinating, dimension of this Emunas Chachamim that you see extant in the world today. Rashi says in number three, note the Torah said, Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagid lecha yaminu smol, right or left. Torah could have simply said, don't deviate from what they tell you. What's your minu small? Rashi says, quotes the Sifrei, Afilu omer lecha al yamin shu small, val small shu yamin. Even if the Chachamim tell you that the right is the left and the left is the right, meaning they tell you something that's the opposite of reality. Certainly if they tell you something that accords with reality, but even if they tell you something that's against the reality, they tell you right is left and left is right, lo tosur. You're not allowed to deviate from what they have to say. Now it's interesting that Rashi quotes this, afilu omer lecha al yamin shu smol v'smol shu yamin. The Sifrei actually had a different text. The text in the Sifrei is more in accordance with how the Ramban approached it. You know, he really agrees with Rashi in the substance. Look at the Ramban, it's the top left, number four. He quotes Rashi, and then he says, V'inyono afilu tachshov belibcho shehem tovim. Even if you think to yourself that they're wrong, v'adover poshut be'einecha kasher ata yodeh ben yamincha l'smolcho. And it's so obvious to you that the Chachamim are wrong, as obvious as knowing your right hand from your left hand, ta'aseh k'mitzvasam. You should do what they have to say. Now I say Rashi, the Lashon is very important because the Sifrei says something different. The Sifrei inside actually says, afilu marim be'enecho, even if they show it to you, right? Or the Gra, his text was more precise. The Gra had the text, afilu nirim be'enecho, al yomin shu smol v'al smol shu yomin. If it appears to you that right is left, left is right, still you have to listen to them. But that's not quite the same as what Rashi said. Nirim beinecha means that you think they're wrong. You think they're wrong, so who are you? Who am I? Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, afilu omer lecha al yamin shu smol v'al smol shu yamin. Even if they tell you left is right and right is left, you still have to listen to them. Well, what if they tell you something that's absolutely wrong, that's false? What's halacha there? So in fact, we see that it's in this week's Sedra. The Torah says in Vayikra, the case of the Parhelem Shel Tzibur, V'im kol adas Yisrael yishgu, V'nelam davar me'enei kahal. If the entire congregation of Israel sins, and something is hidden from them, hidden from me'enei kahal, the eyes of the Tzibur. Who are the eyes of the Tzibur? The Chacham, the Sanhedrin. So in fact, the Sanhedrin can also make mistakes. If they in fact make a mistake, and they tell you, for example, that Chaylev is Shuman, but you know they're wrong, are you supposed to listen to them or not listen to them? The implication is that you're not supposed to listen to them, even though Ramban will be different. You're not supposed to listen to them. In fact, if you do listen to them, so they take responsibility. That's the Parhelem Davar Shel Tzibur. But the Yochid who eats Chaylev on their account, so he is actually exempt from Achatos. What's interesting further is that the Yerushalmi says the exact opposite of what Rashi says. Yerushalmi says, and it's in Horios. Horios, having gotten to, that deals with this area. Horu Beistin. If Beistin teaches you something that's wrong, what do you do? What do they do? Yerushalmi in Horios in the first parak says, Yochol im yomru lecha al yamin shu small val small shu yamin tishmalahem. Maybe you'll think that if they tell you right is left and left is right, you should listen to them. Talmud lomar yaminu small. The Torah says right and left. Kishayomru lecha al yamin shu yamin val small shu small. You listen to them when they tell you that right is right and left is left, but not if they tell you what you know to be wrong. And yet, that's not what the Ramban says. Look at the Ramban, fourth line now. V'al tamar eich ochal hachelef hagomor hazeh. If you say, how should I eat this absolute chelef? Chelef is forbidden fat. O arog ha'ish hanoki hazeh. Or put to death this innocent person. You have that case in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Shimon ben Shatach executed, had his own son executed. Because two Edom came, they knew they were lying, but they couldn't shake them through drishos v'chakiros. Avol tomar, you should say, kach tziva osi ha'adon ha'mitzava ala mitzvos, she'ese b'chol mitzvosov, k'chol asher yaruni ha'omdim l'fonov b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. Rather, the Torah says, no, you have to listen to what the Master, Kadosh Baruch Hu, commanded in these mitzvos. I should do all the mitzvahs as I've been commanded, because that is the system. And it's based on their words, their understanding. God gave us the Torah, gave me the Torah, even if they err. And you have a classic case, he mentions the Gemara Shoshana, Rabbi Yeshua calculated that the Yom HaKippurim fall on a certain day. Ram Gamliel was the Nasi, he differed, it was the day before, and in fact, Ram Gamliel forced Rabbi Yeshua to come with his staff and his wallet on the day that Rabbi Yeshua held was Yom HaKippurim, so he should be Nichna before Ram Gamliel, who was the Nasi, but in fact was younger than Rabbi Yeshua. And the Ramban adds, "Vatzorach b'mitzvah hazos gadol ma'od." The need for this mitzvah is very great. Ki haTorah nitna lono b'chsav. The Torah is given to us in writing, meaning the Torah is given to us in words that came to us from Hashem. V'yadua hu shel yishtavu hadeos b'chol advarim hanoladim. And it's well known to us that people don't agree. Everyone thinks in a different way. We're not monolithic in our thoughts, so people can look at one text and draw different conclusions from it. V'hina yirba machlokos, v'tasa Torah kamatoros. If that's the case, someone will look at the text of the Torah, and it'll be different Torahs, and machlokos, disputes, will arise. Right? The Torah has no punctuation. If a person wanted, they could read lo tirtzach, you know, lo, tirtzach. Read it any way you want because it's not punctuated. And who's to say that based on the text that you're wrong? So v'chotach lono hakosuv hadin. The Torah was very, very precise And what it taught us, Shenishma lebeisin agodol ha'omei lufnei Hashem b'makom asher yivchar b'chom asher yomer lanu b'feresh ha'Torah. The Torah was very, very insistent that we listen to the beisin agodol. There is one central authority from whom Horo'ah flows, from the Beis HaMikdash, the place that God chose, who will tell us exactly what the Torah's meaning is to be. Bein shekibu perusha ein mipi edu moshe mipi agvura, o sheyomu kein lefi mashmas ha-mikra kavanasa, whether they have a Mesorah for Moshe, whether they just derive it from one of the Midah Shatar Nidreshes Bohem, or Stam Takono, ki al das shelohem unosan lono esatah. It's based on that there'll be a system of chachamim, who are entrusted with interpreting the Torah, that the Torah was given to us. So therefore, even if they're wrong, the Ramban says, you have to take a hit for the team, so to speak, in order to uphold the system. Even if it appears to you, and now he takes the language of the Sifrei, which is different than what Rashi said, it appears to you that right is left. Of course, you have to consider that maybe they're right and you're wrong. Why? Because the Spirit of God rests on the ministers in his sanctuary. He will not abandon his pious ones. He will forever save them from errors and stumbling. Well, forever is a relative concept because you see, you have the institution of Par Helm Dover Shal Tzibur. So Sanhedrin can make a mistake. But nonetheless, how do we understand this notion of doing something you know is wrong simply because the Chachamim said it, and especially Rishalmi discounts that possibility? Yocholim Yomru L'chol Yomun Shal Small. Maybe you'll think you should do even they tell you. No. Yomru Small. It has to be in accordance with a certain reality. So what then is the difference? The Tor Tamima takes up this issue, and he has a very hard time with the Ramban, and he explains the Ramban only in reference to a particular event. And that is what the Ramban says in the middle about Kiddush HaChodesh. That Kiddush HaChodesh is a function of the Beis Din HaGadol. So there, no one has the right to say, I think Rosh Chodesh should be on Wednesday, not Tuesday, or Monday, not Tuesday. No one has the right to say that, because that becomes more of a global, a national issue for the Jewish people. But in fact, that's how the Tartu understands the Ramban. That's, even if they say Yom Smol, you're clear that it's the Molad is not Tuesday, but it's a different day. Nonetheless, we have to be submissive to what they say. On the other hand, if in fact they would tell you to eat Chaylev, because they say it's Shulman, there the Torah Tumim says on the contrary, that you have to desist. If you know in the Metzius they're wrong, if that's possible, in the Metzius they're wrong, then you cannot listen to them at all. Now, this notion, of course, of Ruach Hashem that the Ramban mentions, and we'll see others are mentioned as well, is a very challenging one, because who has the Ruach Hashem? Which particular Chacham? Which particular rabbi? Everyone who gets smicha, everyone has a title, all of a sudden he's endowed with the Siyata Deshmaya. How does this quality of Emunas Chachamim really define the Jew? What are the limitations of it? What's the difference, by the way, I'll ask you, between this notion of Ruach Hashem, and therefore listen to them, like the Ramban says, and what the Catholics have, papal infallibility. So do we say the Sanhedrin is infallible, like the Pope is infallible? You know, papal infallibility is a relatively new concept. It was only ordained in 1870. So you had a good 18 centuries of non-infallibility. Well, they claimed it also, but it wasn't a doctrine. It only became a doctrine in 1870 after a series of terrible blunders the popes had made. So they had to claim it where they were infallible. Do we say such a thing? What's interesting, we never make such a claim, because you see the Homoseches Horios, this week's Sedra, talks against it. The greatest people can make mistakes. But nonetheless, for some reason, the Jewish world today, you're not allowed to mention such a thing. Therefore, you have to hold almost contradictory elements at one time. We'll get back to that. We'll see what the limitations are of this concept of Emunas Chachamim. Why is there such a concept? how far we extend it and where we don't say it. Let's look first at number 5. In this mission in Avos, the Pirkei Moshe, Rav Moshe Almoznino, one of the Gedolim in the 16th century, lived in Salonika, and then in Constantinople, which is today Istanbul. In the 16th century, for most of the century, and not much before that or after that, Turkey really was the center of the Jewish world, the Ottoman Empire. Many, if not most, of the Gedolim lived there. It's a tremendous place of Chochmas HaTorah, you know, because the Torahs travel from place to place. We don't really think of Turkey as a Makom Torah, but the Rabbi Yosef Karo lived there. The Beis Yosef was written in Salonika when he was the Rav there, before he came to Tzfat in the north here. So Rav Moshe Almoznino says as follows, Emunos Chachamim, ki biyosha dain lo higia lemadregas harav, roi sheyamin b'masha yomer chachamim. As long as a person has not attained the level of his Rebbe, then he should just believe, trust what he has to say. Shem gedola mimadregaso. They're greater than his own level. Shehigiu lemadregas shleimus hachochma. They've reached the level of the perfection of wisdom. V'afim yikshe beinov ma'amorom. Even if something they say troubles you, ro'i lahamin bohem atshagilim komomu madregasom. Ramosha Mosnino says you should listen to them until you reach their level. Meaning, of course, in the worst way of understanding, it's a put-down. Who are you? But in a nicer way of understanding it, he's not claiming Ruach Hashem. He's claiming on a quantitative basis, the Rebbe always knows more than the Talmud, usually, until a certain point. It's possible to surpass the Rebbe also. But up to that point, you have to defer to their wisdom. According to the Pirkei Moshe, it's a practical matter that the Talmud will not know more than the Rebbe, therefore he has to defer. Others differ. One is the Medrash Shmuel. It's next in number 6, commenting also on Avos. The Medrash Shmuel, Shmuel di Uzeda. So both he and Rav Moshe Almoznino were the descendants of exiles from Spain after the expulsion of 1492. That's how they made their way to Turkey. So Medrash Shmuel says that this Emunas Chachamim, Klomar, Shiyamin Bechoma Sheyomer Azal, Ki'ilu Nitnu Lemoshe Misinai. You have to accept what they have to say as if it was given from Sinai. And to deny even one thing that the Chachamim say is essentially to take a person outside the realm of Torah. And for that we say, Lo Tosur. Af bedover echad lo yizgul rozei Torah ki zeh sofo sheyasad zduki kaver goresar avera. If you reject one thing the Chachamim say, then you're on the verge of just falling off the cliff entirely and becoming a Sadducee. It's as if disagreeing with one thing a Chacham says is tantamount to being on the road to becoming a tzduki. And he had something that's of historical interest. V'gam efsha sheramaz sheinyan ha'emuna bo yizbarach shol yachnes ha'odom es atzmo la'siga b'derach hakiris ha'seichel ki bo ze yile limtza petach rak ha'monaso tiye k'derach ha'munas ha'chachamim she'emunas umon mikubelas ish mipi ish ad l'moshe rabbeinu. He says he was very critical of people who become philosophers or engage in philosophical speculation. He said, our Amunas Hashem is based on Amunas Chachamim. We accept what they accept. And to become, to delve into philosophy is to go down a very dangerous path also. Why did he say that? Because many of the Gedolim held, we'll see in a while, the Chassid Yaivitz, or Yosef Yaivitz, who was another descendant of the Golei Sfarad, they held that the relatively few Jews were exiled from Spain. Numbers don't really matter, because we don't know, some say 200,000, some less, but most Jews of Spain either converted to Catholicism or became conversos. And Yosef Yaivitz wrote in the ready in the 16th century, it's because many Spanish Jews became philosophers. They liked the ideas, of Torah, and they became detached from Torah itself and mitzvahs, especially mitzvahs. Like the ideas, and at a certain point they felt, well, if you can have the ideas and not the mitzvahs, so why die? Why put yourself to be tortured or to be forcibly converted. Just convert openly, you'll retain the ideas, the same thing. So he was against that. Our emuna comes from the Chachamim, and not just, the Medrash Shmuel says, and not just our understanding of mitzvahs. Now, if that's the case, so then what do we just sit like sheep? We just are parrots? We just sit and whatever the Rebbe says, we absorb and that's it? How could that be? One reason why it's difficult to accept that is because even in the same Mishnah in Avos, Chazal didn't seem to say that's a method of Kenyan Torah. So look at the Sri De'esh, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, in Chalek Aleph Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. He's speaking there about different concepts in Chazal of Rov and Chazaka. He says, "Rogel ani lefarish mashamano Chazal Pirkei Avos." Among the 48 characteristics of Kenyan Torah, pilpul hatalmidim v'munas chachamim. What's pilpul hatalmidim? A person acquires Torah through debating with students, and emunas chachamim, through emuna, faith in what the sages have to say. At first glance, it seems to be contradictory. Because if you're just accepting what the Chacham says, so what's the pilpul? Whatever he says, you say, and you listen to, and you follow. So Sri Deish asked, generally, what's the connection of Emunas Chachamim to Kinyan Torah? If you don't believe in the sages, we'll very quickly violate their words through trivializing them or through arrogance, foolish arrogance. We'll say, yeah, they didn't understand. You read something in the Gemara, they didn't understand. You won't understand a Rambam? Hey, he didn't know what he was talking about. Comes out, nobody will exert himself in trying to understand their words. But at the end, we'll see, if something seems difficult, then we'll realize that we were the ones who were mistaken, and not them. V'lochein midarkei hachochma hu lahamin shem lo tov, chas v'shalom. V'rak anachnu kitzrei ru'us u'me'utei das. It's one of the darkei hachochma to have faith that they did not err in what they were saying, but rather the dearth of our wisdom, our understanding, our discernment, that has caused us not to fully understand. You should know historically, it's not that common anymore today, but when I was growing up, and for decades before that, in the non-Orthodox world where there was what they called Jewish scholarship, the scientific study always involved, or very often involved, finding variant texts, all right? If there was a machlokas they couldn't figure out, so they'd find something, geniza, oh, this is what he meant. It's because you just substitute this text for that text, and there's no machlokas. Of course, soon, if you do that too frequently, there's no Talmud anymore, because nothing is real. This text I like, so this is good. I understand it, I'll accept it. I don't understand it, I'll find something else. You know, there's a reason why things are put in Shemus. It's because they're filled with errors. Not that they should be some standard against we measure what we learn. But nonetheless, the premise of that approach was basically what he's saying here. Bizchichus hadas, biz yehira shel shtus, hemlo hevinu. They didn't understand, the Chum didn't know what they were talking about, and therefore we'll be able to figure it out. But if you say they did make mistakes, so why even ask a question? Why do anything? Why think? So now the Sri Deish continues. Avalaham in stam, just to simply believe, and not to exercise the mind in analysis and thought. Avalomar stam heim yadu. They know what they're talking about. We'll just rely on them without thought. That can't be. Gam kein lo nachon. It's also not true. Elatzarch lefalpel bestiro besvekos keilu haya anashim yishalonu. We should argue in their words, try to understand, try to compare. If something is difficult, it's difficult. We say the Rambam is shver, we don't say the Rambam is wrong. It's a difficult Rambam. So you have to try to understand it. But we're not going to say that the Rambam made a mistake or didn't know one place from the other in Mishnah Torah, in the Gemara. Through this, we'll come to a very deep understanding, analysis of what Chazal were telling us. Nimsa shtei midos yachad. Comes that these two qualities go together. Emunas chachamim, we trust what they say is right, but also pilpul ad ketzei achron. Analysis, argument, deliberation, discussion to the furthest point. That brings us to Kenyan Torah. So we have a deep faith that what they said is true and correct, and at the same time, we let nothing escape our critical faculty. Okay, just to round off this area, in number 8, Yosef Yaivitz says, Emunas Chacham Mishayamin L'Divrei Kabbalah Val Yemar B'Daita L'Tfos Aleihem. We accept the Mesorah, shouldn't be too quick to question them. Ela Yitla Chisarn B'Sichlo V'Yachshav Daita L'Das Chacham B'Divreihem HaNemorim B'Emes. But rather we should think that if we don't understand something, it's our paucity of knowledge. Kilo yivat bahem v'yidlo sub avon osav or bekitzirei me'achovos hashelabori alav. And whatever we don't understand, we should attribute either to our intellect, which is imperfect because of our sins, or because we have not yet fully become proper avdei Hashem. But it's not them. Now add something else. In number 9, the Kuzari Rabbi Levi writes that he was talking, of course, to the king of the Khazarim, and he says about the Talmud, Sheyireb Hama'ayin Be'ein Ha'emes, Ki Basa V'dam Yiktzar Mechaber Kamosa, Ela Be'ezer Elohi. And that's something also that should give us pause, and of course respect. The Kuzari says, anybody who looks at the Talmud has to accept that Basa V'dam, flesh and blood, human beings operating under normal parameters, could not have produced such a work except with divine assistance. And the Gra said the same thing about the Rambam. The truth is, he said the same thing about the Gra. Some of the works of Torah are just so astonishing, intellectual feats that are not really capable of duplication. It's only possible be'ezer Eloki. And you have to add something to this as well, and that's in number 12. Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Zayin Mit Beis, it's not only what they say. Amar B'Yochanan Mishum Shim Ben Yochai, Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Mi Limuda. Shimusha Shel Torah, being Mishamesh Tamid Chachamim, is even greater than learning from them. Because we learn not just from their words, we learn from their deeds. Even their deeds are Torah. You see from Elisha and Elio. Even their deeds are Torah, meaning it's not just that they're intellectually gifted, but they're considered also to be moral giants, and therefore they have what to teach us on every particular level. Well, what is the limit of this? What's the extent? I mean, everything anybody says is so. So now, if you look at number 10, you'll see a very interesting limitation. It's from Michtam Elio in the first Chelek, very famous discussion that he had. He was asked by a questioner, of course, Rav Dessler, if you know, he was born in Europe, and he spent the war years in Gateshead. And then after World War II, after the Holocaust, he came and was the Mashgiach Ruchani in Ponovich until he died in the early 1950s. So obviously, after the Holocaust, I mean, the questions remain until today, people ask, yeah, how's it possible? And especially this particular genre of the question, Michtav Bidvar Emunas Chachamim. See, someone wrote to him that how's it possible that so many Gedolim in Europe told Jews to stay, not to go? And because of what they said, they stayed and died. Did it happen a lot? I don't think so. Does every Jew listen to everything Rabbi says? Of course not. So it's an easy target to blame the rabbis for it, but unquestionably there were many, many rabbanim who did tell people to stay, don't leave, so much so don't leave Europe. It'll pass, and it didn't. I mentioned a few months ago in a different shiur, he had a famous discussion. It was Rav Gedalia Shor. Ever hear of him? Rashiva Torah Vadas for many years. So he was living in America, but then, like people come to Israel today, like you, then many American Jews went to Europe when they came of age after high school to study in Mir, in Baranovich, wherever. So Rav Gedalia Shur, then he was just Gedalia Shur, went to Kletsk, where Rav Aaron Cutler was. In 1939, the summer of 39, war broke out September 1st. In the summer of 1939, his parents sent him a letter from America to go home, come back to America. And Rav Gedalia Shur consulted Rav Aaron Cutler. And the only thing was Rav Aaron Cutler was traveling. So it took a few weeks before they connected in letters. Rav Aaron Cutler received the letter. He was Rosh Yeshiva there in Kletsk. And by the time the letter was sent back to Kletsk, Rav Gedalia Shur had already left for America. And Rav Aaron Cutler said to him, "Don't leave. Don't leave. You know, not, the Torah will protect you. It will pass. And you'll gain much more living in Yeshiva in Kletsk than you will leave going back to America." And of course, had he stayed in Kletsk, he would have been killed. And went back to America, became Rosh Yeshiva and Torah Vadas. So that was the question that was asked me. The Munas Hachamim, so how far? How far does it go? So Rav Dessler's attitude was, and he's very charif in this, if you look in the text, he says, "You can't, it seems what you're saying, Ki kol gadoli Yisrael, shem maseim hayu l'shem shemayim, ugaoni aseich avadiri hatzdokos gam yachad. Everything they did was for the sake of heaven. And they were tremendous geniuses and kind, compassionate people. Whatever they said, whatever the Piskei Halacha was, it's like it was coming directly from God. Who are we talking about? B'dor Havar, the Chafetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Ozer, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Baruch Ber, the Od Va'od. The smallest aspects of their intellects are really beyond us. And even the generation before them, Rosh Salanter and the other tzaddikim, you're saying, Kulam Yitu Tos Gemura, they all made a mistake? Chas v'shalom. Lo te kizos b'Yisrael, asu l'shmoa dvarim ka'ele, v'kol shekein la'omram. You're not allowed to hear these things, you certainly can't say them. And he goes on to explain, Ukvar omru lono chazal, lishmo ledivre chacham afilo omru lono al smol shiyamin, v'lo machas v'shom shebevaday to, mibmesha anochi ektantan ro b'chushes tausam. You can't say that they were wrong. That, like Chazal say, we started with, even if they tell you, like Rashi said, left is right is left, God forbid should you ever say that they made a mistake, because we, in our smallness of intellect, we think they're wrong. Chas v'shalom. What do you say about that? Were they right or they're wrong? I mean, it seems they're wrong. You maybe don't blame them for it, because they certainly couldn't foresee the extent of the horrors that were ahead. But you can say they were right? How do you say they were right? And if you say they're right, what are we saying? I mean, they were supposed to die. You run into a very problematic area that, of course, is on the table for discussion in Israel today. So I was driving to the Kotel this morning, passing through Sanhedria, and I saw on the wall, right up the outskirts of Beis Yisrael, these big wall posters, which you learn a lot about Jews, you know, their lives through the wall posters. It said, Zochor Eis Asher Asol Lecha. No, not Amalek. Habayit HaYehudi, Lo Tishkach. All right? Clearly comparing Bayit Yehudi to Amalek, all right? It's a strange type of Amalek that we have. It's an Amalek that wants to protect them and from whom they're asking they should be supported too. But nonetheless, we'll say the Rabbanim who are behind that, they're right, they're not wrong. So what's the obvious difference in the two? The difference, Emunas Chachamim, does not apply to these issues, what are loosely called today in the world, Das Torah. We'll get back in a little while, but it's a separate discussion altogether. It applies to Psak Halacha. It applies to understanding the Mesorah. That's not quite the same as going outside the realm of Torah into the realm of public policy or advice about life, you know, about shidduchim, about where to live, about the job to pursue. That's a different area. Then you can appeal to them, seek out their wisdom, their chachma, but to think that there's a kvius, that if they tell you something is right for you and it's wrong for you, you should do it anyway. So that, of course, we would never say. We'll return to Rav Dessler a little later on. The bottom line is, in the initial sense, certainly when it comes to elements of Torah, pure Torah, Din, and Mesorah, we rely on the Chachamim. Nowhere is this brought to us more clearly than the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, number 11. Tana Rabbanan, famous story. A guy comes for Shammai, he says, Kama Torah, Seish Lachem? He says, Tu, Bichsav Al Peh. So he says, Amalo, Shibichsav Ani Ma Mincha, Shav Al Peh, Ani Ma Mincha. Regarding Torah Shav Al Peh, Torah Shav Al Peh, I'll believe you, the written Torah. Regarding oral Torah, I will not believe you. Convert me that I'll just accept Torah Shibichsav. So of course, Shammai knocked him away. Garbo rebuked him and threw him out. Balafnei Hillel, Gaire. Hill converted him. Yomakama Amarle, the first day he said, these are the first four letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid. The next day he came back. Lesson, he said, these are the first four letters. Dalid, Gimel, Beis, Aleph. So the guy was a good Talmud. Yesterday he said something different. He said Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalit. Today he said the opposite. Omar lo, lav alai didi kasamach. You're relying on me to teach you Torah. Dal peh nami smoch alai. If you rely on me to teach you the osios, the letters, which are the building blocks of Torah, rely on me for Torah Shabbat peh as well. All right, that little vignette, which every child learns, actually contains a very, very deep message. Ultimately, we're looking at the Torah. We're looking at the Torah through the eyes of the Chachamim. That's why they're called Einei Ha'eda, Einei HaKahol. They're the eyes. They see. So the truth is the Torah is given to us b'chsav, in writing, but it's really not accessible necessarily in the first instance to everyone. And I always compare it to an x-ray, all right? I mean, I've broken a couple of things here and there, torn a few things. Can I look at an x-ray and see a fracture? I probably could, all right? I don't do it professionally, though, but it's illegal, but I probably could. But there's no comparison between the way I would look at an x-ray and the way a radiologist looks at an x-ray. He's an expert. He's trained in it. That's the difference. The Torah is like an x-ray. We could look at it. People in the world could look at it, and they see what they see. And sometimes their conclusions are accurate, and sometimes they're inaccurate. But the Chacham look at the Torah like a radiologist looks at an x-ray, and what he sees is completely clear. That's the difference between the two. What becomes then the balance? Let's look first at the Rav Cook in Ein Ayah number 13. He's commenting on the Gemara Shabbos. It's on the flip side. He explains what this point made in the story of Hillel and Shammai is. And he says, this yesod is understandable. Shekola bala ba'et b'tor shebal peh, hun milchamim teva metziyot. A person who comes to kick away the Torah shebal peh, he's really fighting with the reality itself. Sheev shar klal kasher, l'kesha shel dorot shanim shitagei ki mezrat ha-mesor ha-mefersemet. It's impossible for there to be a bond of generations, for there to be continuity in Jewish life, in the Mesorah, unless we speak the same language. And that language is the language of the Chachamim, the language of the Mesorah. Think for a second. Let's say 3,000 years ago, they said matzah was a certain way, and 2,000 years a different way, and now it's different. We wouldn't have survived, because there's no one Torah, it's many Torahs. An Esrog is an Esrog. You can't have each new generation of Chachamim determining what an Esrog is. You need that agod. You need that bond, that connective link. Im kein al karcha kachu tanai nesina star shebichsav. Im kein da al pen nami smoch alai. If we accept what the letters are, the basic unit of Torah shebichsav, you have to accept what the Chachamim who interpreted those letters are saying as well. And that's how we rely on these fathers of our people. Okay, you can read the rest on your own. I just want to move on because we're running a little short of time. So here's the question, and it's something for you to think about. We'll offer an approach, but it's a very important question. So you have this Emunas Chachamim, and we say that they're right when it comes to Mesorah. We know. Of course, we understand as well that the Talmud's filled with machlokas. And today, down to our day, there are even exponentially more machlokas. It's not going everybody be right. And what really is the balance between Emunas Chachamim, saying what they say, and individual creativity and thought or autonomy? Are you allowed to open a chumash this week, Parshas Vayikra, and look at a pasuk and be mechadesh something? Or does everything we say have to be grounded in something that someone said before we did? Can we be mechadesh? Or are we just basically parents? And you know, there are two approaches. Very often you find that people who are mechadesh, especially young people, a lot of older people, resentful. Who are you to mechadesh something? Who are you to say something? On the other hand, just open up a sefer and say, quote a dvar Torah, someone else said, I could have opened the same sefer also, say, you made a shortcut for me, you said it. But there's an element of thought and understanding what they said and relating it, but it's not the same as looking at the psukim and trying to derive something as Chazal would understand it. So what then is the balance? And here Rav Avinir, Rav Shlomo Chaim Avinir, I happened to see him this morning at the Kotel, he has a sefer called Chaye Olam. Chaye Olam that deals with many, many different aspects of Talmud Torah. And he deals with this question as well, of Emunas Chachamim, as well as this idea of creativity. So he says, for example, he quotes Emunas Chachamim, Emunah Shatar Shebal Peh Shemofiyah Der Chachamim, Hi Tarat Hashem Udvar Hashem. That's what Emunas Chachamim is. That the Torah Shebal Peh that comes through them, that's God's word. That's God's Torah. That's what it is. V'kein Shechai Olam Anatuim B'tochenu, HaTorah Shebal Peh Novim Be'orach Yashir Mitorat Emet HaNatun Alanu Torah Shebichtav. And the Torah Shebal Peh that comes to us through, directly, through their words, that is part of that Dvar Hashem as well. By the way, we should know, we say this bracha, Berchas HaTorah, Asher Menosa Torah Emes, right? Second bracha, that God gave us a Torah Emes, V'chay Olam Natabesocheinu. And he implanted within us eternal life. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between Torah Emes and Chaya Olam Natabes Ocheinu? So the Torah says in Hilchos Brachos, V'nasa lona Torah Emes, the Torah of truth, Emes, that's Torah Shebichtav. Chaya Olam Natabes Ocheinu, that's Torah Shebal Peh. Because the Torah, Torah Emes, Torah Shebichtav is fixed. But Chai Olam Natabes Ocheinu, something that's planted, has to be nurtured. Then it grows. That enables us to make, to have a creativity, individual thinking in Talmud Torah, and that's especially Torah Shebal Peh. So he goes on to say that Emunas Chachamim means faith that Torah Shebal Peh is the Torah Hashem, that the Chachamim are the repositories of this Torah she'be'al peh. And he quotes Rav Kook from Orot HaTorah at the very beginning, that Torah she'bichtav rather is the Ruach Elokim that comes, that hovers over us and touches the highest part of the soul. Derech HaTzinor HaElyon Shel Nishmateinu. But Torah she'bal peh, Derech Tzinor Namuch Venoshi Yoter. It's much more human, because then we get involved more in different aspects of a dialogue, of debate, of understanding. There we have our ishiut, our personalities, more encroaching on the system itself. So it's a lower dimension, but nonetheless, everyone is still obligated to retain a sense of value for our own thoughts. Otherwise, we just become parrots. And parrots are not only Talmidei Chachamim, they're not really Talmidim altogether. Emunas Chachamim, Rav Avinei goes on to say, does not come to suppress or to crush our autonomy, but rather to elevate it, to exalt it, and to purify it. Look in the fourth paragraph. And of course, because of the different personalities involved, that's why you have machlokas. Because people could just look at different things. The machlokas usually is, we call in law, conflict of interests. They're different. The different interests or values, the values are in conflict. So one says this value should be superior in this case, and the other person says this value should be superior in that case. It's a conflict of values. Sometimes it's just shivim panim l'Torah. People of different minds are deosei manat shavos. Baruch Hacham Harazim. God is the knower of secrets. He made every person different, thinking differently. So therefore, if we think differently, we're going to analyze differently as well. So we say, Shivim Panam LaTorah. And I see this pun, someone else sees another pun. And of course, we have to understand Shivim Panim Torah means there's also a 71st, 72nd that's outside the framework of Torah. Not everyone, and not everything a Jew says is part of the Torah. Shivim Panim Torah, it's quite sufficient. But because Shivim Panim, someone has to be able to articulate those 70 facets of Torah. Lochein ala adam lizalzel batzmo. Never depreciate yourselves. Keilu ein kol erech lemachshav otov rikshotov ritzon otov v'netiyotov. Shem et natziut shel tzelem elokim shebo. Never depreciate. Never think there's no value to your thoughts or your feelings or your will, your inclinations. All those are sparks of the Tzelem Elokim that are within us. If all we do is say what someone else said, we're not lighting the spark of our own Tzelem Elokim. We're relighting someone else's spark. Not the same. L'chein ein emunah b'rabo bo l'dakev l'shbor atzmiyuto. Faith in our rebbeim is never intended to depress or to crush our autonomy. Ela adarabo bo gam l'romeim l'chazek et netiyoto v'yachad im zeh l'taher atam yisigehem. What the rebbeim do is give us a derech, and they purify our thoughts so that our minds can then become open in the world of Torah. It goes on to say, Emunas Chachamim applies to Agadata as well. It's the number 15 here, and the 16 also. But Agadata is subject to even more divergence than the Halacha is, and that there's Das Torah as well. But Das Torah too is also subject to differing opinions, so it lacks the, despite what you might hear, it lacks the authority of the what the Masorah has, of what Psak Din has. What's Das Torah? Rav Kook and Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Satmar Rebbe, they can't all be right about Zionism. Someone has to be wrong. Okay, you can't be right. It's not even machlokas in halacha. So that's Das Torah. Das Torah, that's also right and wrong. Not in halacha, though. Halacha can tolerate Shivim Panim LaTorah. All right, is criticism possible? If we hear something, Chacham say, can we criticize? Can we find fault? Very gingerly. But if you look at 16, he quotes from Chaim Volozhin in his Perish on Avos, who says in the Chazal, the first parak of Avos, heavy misabek b'afar raglem shaltamina chachamim, we should wrestle, roll in the dust of the feet of the chachamim, milashan vaye ovek ish imo, with Yaakov Avinu, wrestle with the man, ach yachad imze olena lizkor shehinena rak avak lumatam. Yeah, we're allowed to wrestle, we're allowed to argue on whatever the chachamim say. Do what halacha says. We can argue with what they say, but we should also keep in mind that we're simply dust at their feet. In other words, we're allowed to wrestle with their words, but we can't go outside the ring. We have to stay within the ring as well. Finally, he says that we maintain emunas hachamim as the basis from which we derive our individuality. And from which our creativity in Torah is supposed to emerge. So therefore, it's not as if we could look at the Torah Shebichsav and make our conclusions. Rather, we have to understand it forcefully, fully, completely, as best we can, and gain a derech in learning. And only then can we allow ourselves to be creative. Just to go back to Michta Miller for a second, number 19. See, he says, you know, he was very tough in this area of Emunas Chachamim. He quotes the famous Masha from Mesillas Yesharim of the Gana Mivalcha, the Garden of Mazes. I've seen these in Europe also. The rich, to entertain themselves, would build a garden of bushes and everything in a maze. And you get in, there's only one way out. You know what a maze is. So he says that, he quotes here, he says that a person who's inside the maze, he can't see his way out. But someone's standing on the achsadra, standing on the balcony, so he looks down at the maze, and he says, yeah, if you walk here, make a left and a right, go straight, another right, then you'll be out. Rav Dessler says, that's Emunas Chachamim. That they're standing on the achsadra, on the balcony, they see where we are, and they could be able to guide us out of whatever fix we find ourselves in. Of course, bear in mind that if you look at the Masiz Hasharim, that's not what the Ramchal meant. what he used this Gan HaMivocha to represent in the Mashal is the Yetzer Hara, that someone who is afflicted by the Yetzer Hara, so that person, he's in the maze, he can't get out. But if we subdue our Yetzer Hara, we're in control, then we see our way out of everything. We know what's right, what's wrong, what we can indulge, what we can't indulge, and then we move on. And finally, the Sfas Emes says in number 18, it's the Sfas Emes on Parshas Vayikra, a little insight for Pesach. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, right before Kriyas Yamsuf, when they saw the Egyptians die after Kriyas Yamsuf, they believed in God and Moshe, his servants. What's the comparison? So the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, wrote as follows. Through Emuna in our sages, we can come to Emuna in God as well. Faith in God is higher, a higher level than faith in the sages. But he says it's impossible to come to true Emunah B'Hashem unless we have Emunah Chachamim. And that's why it's part of Kinyan Torah as well. Not only to believe that God gave us the Torah, but to believe God gave us the Mesorah as well. If we believe God gave us the Mesorah, then we value, we cherish the words of the Chachamim, and we try to understand them. And through Emunah Chachamim we get to a higher level. And he said that's the Pshat also of Emunah B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. They had faith in God, and then in Moshe. But because they had faith in Moshe, acharkach oz yosher Moshe, shirul Hashem, or shirul Hashem ki go, they came to a higher level of emunah b'Hashem. All right, so here we come to the tough and final question. Does that mean every Rebbe, every teacher, every rabbi? So the Rav used to say, I heard this from my Rebbe, that every generation has a few Bali Mesorah. But that's not to say that every Rav is a Baal Masorah. There are a few. Emunas Chachamim really means the consent in areas of Torah, of Masorah, of Halacha, of Psak. Emunas Chachamim means the consensus of the Rabbanim around any halachic issue. If you have a majority of Rabbanim coalescing and say, this is the way it should be, then that's what it is. Then we can rely on the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu's system has guided them properly. Our emunah is that the consensus represents the Ratzon Hashem. So therefore, in their words of the Chachamim, understood properly, respecting them at all times, in their words we really find our foundation, our purpose, appropriate guidance for everything in life. We find a derech b'Torah, we find a derech v'chaim as well, and that's why it's part of Kinyan Torah. Again, you have to understand the limits, where it applies, certainly where it doesn't apply. You have to understand the importance, even with Emunas Chachamim. Emunas Chachamim is a catalyst for us to begin to be able to think once we reach a certain level on our own, not necessarily in halacha, to trailblaze new areas that go against everyone else, but to understand more deeply. We do that, then we're Kona Torah. We're Kona Torah, we become a superior Avdei Hashem. I thank you very much. Wish all those traveling at Tzeischem L'Shalom. You should be inspired, moved, inspired by what you see on your travels. And of course, a Chakosh V'Sameach as well.